Good evening, and a very warm welcome to all. Welcome to the Peace Alliance's monthly call. My name is Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Coordinator for the Peace Alliance, and it's wonderful to be with you tonight, especially in such trying times as we've been having recently in our country. It's really a powerful resource to be part of a peace-building constituency that has the nerve and the care and the energy to speak up and take action for positive solutions for peace building in our world. We have a very full and exciting call plan tonight, and we'll cover the agenda a little bit later, the rest of the agenda, but first we have Congresswoman Barbara Lee with us, and Congresswoman Lee has been a powerful inspiration and source of hope to many of us in this movement. So right now I'm going to introduce another woman who's been a very powerful source of inspiration, who's going to officially introduce Congresswoman Lee, and that is our very own Department of Peacebuilding Council Lead, Nancy Merritt. Welcome, Nancy.
Hi, thanks, Dan. Congresswoman Barbara Lee has been a courageous and persistent voice for peace and justice her entire life. She was born in El Paso, Texas, and we in California are grateful that her family moved to California shortly after her grammar school years. During the 1990s, she represented the Oakland-Berkeley area in the California State Legislature. She's been in the U.S. Congress since 1998. Since 2013, Representative Lee has sponsored legislation to create a U.S. Department of Peace Building, which, of course, is near and dear to our hearts. In 2001, shortly after 9/11, Representative Lee was the lone voice in Congress against the authorized use of military force legislation. She advocated then and has advocated ever since that it is Congress's obligation to debate and vote before issuing a blank check for the president to wage war. In her advocacy, Representative Lee looks at the root causes of violence and makes a connection between violence and poverty, violence and racism, resisting the rise to hate, the importance of education to stem the cycle of violence, and the importance of mentoring our young people. For the third time, she was recently appointed as the Democratic Congressional Liaison to the United Nations. Not only does she continually walk the walk of peace and justice, when she throws her birthday parties, she can dance. So we thank Congresswoman Lee, and we welcome her to this call.
Well, thank you, and good evening. Thank you for that gracious introduction, and also for your tremendous leadership as the National Department of Peacebuilding campaign lead. It's really quite momentous that we're having this call tonight. And, of course, I'll start off by saying that what took place in Charlottesville this weekend and Trump's recent threats against North Korea, that really serves to underscore the importance and the timeliness of our peacebuilding efforts. We need a U.S. Department of Peacebuilding now more than ever. Let me remind you that should the Department of Peacebuilding Act of 2017, that's H.R. 1111, be passed into law, offices for both domestic peacebuilding activities and international peacebuilding activities would be created, which is exactly what is needed now. Regretfully, this administration, quite naturally, given who they are, is working against our goals and actively promoting hate, bigotry, and warmongering. But believe you me, this has just doubled my motivation to get this bill passed. We can't wait. As it stands now, H.R. 1111 has 31 co-sponsors, all Democrats and no Republicans, so we need bipartisan support. However, I believe some of my Republican colleagues are slowly coming around, as evidenced by their support for my authorization to use military force repeal amendment. After many years of leading attempts to repeal the 2001 authorization for the use of military force, which I alone opposed at the time, I was able to convince my colleagues on the House Appropriations Committee to adopt my amendment to repeal this open-ended authorization for war. The amendment passed with an overwhelming bipartisan vote, but Speaker Ryan undemocratically and unilaterally stripped my amendment without a vote or debate. Let me tell you, I've been working, as many of you know, to repeal the 2001 AUMF for over a decade, and I have no intention of stopping now. The Constitution is clear. The American people deserve a voice on matters of war and peace. Preventing this debate and vote is a betrayal of our constitutional obligation to the men and women bravely serving overseas, as well as a betrayal of our trust, or at least purported trust, by our constituents in our efforts to uphold the Constitution. But quite frankly, Congress has been missing in action. I've also joined my colleague, Congressman Ted Lieu, to push for the passage of the Restricting First Use of Nuclear Weapons Act of 2017, H.R. 669. Should it be implemented, the bill would prohibit the president from using the armed forces to conduct a first-use nuclear strike unless such strike is conducted pursuant to a congressional declaration of war expressly authorizing such strike. H.R. 669 is currently in the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and it has 44 co-sponsors, including one Republican. As you can see, we need your support to garner bipartisan support for both H.R. 669 and H.R. 1111. Now is the time to really beef up our efforts. When you come up for your lobby visit in October, please be sure to visit both Democratic and Republican offices. Make sure your representatives know what you would like them to support and co-sponsor these bills if they haven't done so already. But I would start now and go into their district offices even this week, because timing is everything, and this is the perfect time to go meet with their staffs at least and get them on board. It's also critical that constituents call, email, write, and visit their members on these issues and other issues that matter so much. When members know that you all are watching, they are more likely to do the right thing. Also, for those residing in Republican districts, create spaces in your communities where a conversation can be had on these important issues. Right now, we are at a critical juncture, and I'm glad to hear that so many of you have been working to influence the legislative process, through direct engagement with members' offices. Please keep up the good work. It really does make all the difference in the world. So thank you again for the work. Thank you for this call, and I'll take a couple of questions.
Wonderful. We really appreciate your time, Congresswoman Lee, and, of course, all your great work. Now, I know Nancy had a couple of questions, but we might have time for one or two questions from somebody else. So if you have a question for Congresswoman Lee, press 1 on your keypad, and we can recognize you as having a hand raised. And I'll give the first question to Nancy and see who else has a hand raised after that. Go ahead, Nancy, you're on.
Congresswoman Lee, what would you recommend as far as countering hate, bigotry, and racism in this nation? How do we do that and still be peaceful people?
Well, I still say that first you have to let your members of Congress know that in no way will this country accept the agenda of Donald Trump that's inspired by the alt-right neo-Nazi Klan movement. And it's important that Republicans and Democrats hear from you so that they understand that when they support legislation, they need to look at it for what it's worth and who is in back of it and who's inspiring it. For instance, the Muslim ban. Sanctuary tried to deny funds to cities that are sanctuary cities. The rollback on civil rights. The rollback on criminal justice reform, voter suppression, the issue in terms of rollbacks, in terms of transgender individuals and the military. I mean, we could go on and on. And these are policies that the Trump administration has put forth, but these policies are developed by Gorka, Steve Bannon, and Steve Miller. And these are very dangerous alt-right members, or at least alt-right supporters. Breitbart News, I mean, come on. So I think we need to raise our voices loud and clear that these three individuals must go, and I'm leading an effort in the House with a resolution and a letter to say they must go. But also, we must not forget that it's the policies that they promulgate and that they support that has, you know, that which are embraced by Trump, and that those policies have to change. But the Trump administration, they've emboldened what's the unfortunate outright tragedy and violence and hatred and bigotry that we've witnessed not only over the weekend, but that we are witnessing in the country. Hate crimes have been on the rise since Trump has been in the office.
Thank you.
Well, I'll go to the field for a question, and then we can go back to Nancy. I know Nancy had quite a few questions she was interested in the answer to, but for now, let's go to Amy McQuill. Go ahead, Amy. Your mic is open.
Hi, yes. This is Amy's husband, and we're using her phone. My name is Pierre Beauregard. I'm currently a candidate, the progressive candidate, running for Congress in the 50th District of California against Duncan Hunter. And on my platform, I am calling to create the Department of Peace building. I have been a member of the Peace Alliance for over 10 years. And what I'm seeking from the Peace Alliance is some sort of endorsement or some sort of support in helping me bring this message, you know, throughout my district. I just wanted to announce that my website is Beauregard4Congress.com, and that's Beauregard, Congress.com. And Amy and I have lobbied Congress a couple of times in the past when we did have our conferences there in Washington, D.C. So, Congresswoman Lee, I thank you so much for bringing the H.R. 1111 alive and well, and I am seeking support from the Peace Alliance.
Okay, thank you very much. And I'm not sure how the Peace Alliance endorses candidates, so I'm sure they'll discuss that internal and make determinations, because I think it's very important that candidates do support in their campaigns the legislation and really talk about peace and why this is important.
Yeah. Well, I'll be happy. Sorry to interrupt. I'll be happy to be in further contact with you. We have quite a strong base of support in District 50 area, so I'd be happy to put you in touch with some folks there that can help get your voice out there. We can talk further.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
I'm wondering if Congresswoman Lee could talk just a little bit about the importance of mentoring our children. And I think a lot of people don't know about the Martin Luther King Jr. Freedom Center in Oakland. If you could talk a little bit about that.
Uh-huh. Oh, thank you. Yes, I decided in the mid-90s to develop and put together a center for nonviolence, mediation, conflict resolution, environmental studies, and really bring in children, young people, to look at the great civil and human rights leaders of our time and to actually train them as it relates to leadership training, because so many young people, especially on the West Coast, don't know a lot about our civil rights movement. And so this center has been in operation since the mid-90s. These young people this summer traveled to Native American reservations. They work with communities of color. They work with the Dolores Huerta Foundation down in the Central Valley. Some of them traveled with me on the Civil Rights Pilgrimage to Selma, Montgomery, Birmingham every year with Congressman John Lewis. And these young people are really the future leaders, and they're leaders now. I mean, we have a lecture series, the Barbara Lee Elihu Harris lecture series, where they organize this and bring a lot of the foot soldiers and heroes and sheroes of the movement, of the farm workers movement. We had former Secretary of HUD, Castro, out. And so we've done a heck of a lot. These young people, what we see in terms of their academics is that their grades really soar. They all go on to either get good paying jobs into a training program or to college. And these are kids who would have been probably in the street somewhere, you know, not with no direction, and, you know, dealing with all the circumstances with which they come from because, you know, what is taking place in low-income and communities of color. So it's important to work with groups that are already formed or form your own groups of young people and try to train them because we have to rely on them. They're our future, but they have to know our history, and they have to know what protecting the environment means, and they have to know what peace is about. And these young people can give speeches that would blow anyone away in terms of the need for peace and justice and nonviolence. And, you know, I would just encourage you all to get to know them, but also to try to help us take the Martin Luther King Freedom Center to scale and develop them in your own communities because young people need this. They need it desperately. And we have seen the growth and the potential of young people in my area in Oakland and Berkeley and in the 13th Congressional District.
I can attest, I was at that breakfast, and those kids are amazing. they have really learned a lot, and they are leaders. So
Okay.
I have more questions, but Dan, do we want to do a field something from the field?
Okay. Yeah, you've already been very, very generous with your time, and I don't want to overstay our welcome with you. I really appreciate your time. But if you have time for one more question, shall we go ahead and have one more from the field?
Okay. One more. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Last question. Tony Simpson, your mic is live. Hi, Tony.
Good evening, everyone, and Congresswoman Lee. Thank you so much for your time and your efforts and energy toward both of these bills that you were speaking to. They're very near and dear to my heart. I just lost my auntie this year, January 29th, who's a survivor of the bombing of Hiroshima. And so when I heard, I was not aware this was another bill that we were looking at. And my question to you is through the UN. And have we garnered support for both of these bills from the UN?
From who?
The United Nations.
The UN actually does not support legislation. But I think what we have to do is garner support from members of Congress. That's where the action is, actually. We have to get 218 co-sponsors. We need 218 votes, so the more co-sponsors you get, the more you are assured of a vote on the House floor.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tony. And I'll jump in to say that our action from August is going to... Well, thank you, Congressman Lee. Our action for August is going to involve contacting our members of Congress various ways. So stay tuned, everyone on the call, for ways that we can guide you in taking some of these actions. I'll say a deep thanks to you, Congresswoman Lee, and I'll ask Nancy to say sort of a final farewell because she did so much to cultivate and maintain our relationship with you. She should sort of have the last word in thanking you. Nancy?
Well, we really appreciate everything you do and being on the call. And there's a saying in California that I think goes for probably the nation that Barbara Lee speaks for me, and we really appreciate all you're doing. So thank you very much.
No, Nancy, thank all of you for this because I couldn't do this without you. You know, I'm just trying to carry the ball forward, but it's you who are in the movement, who are, you know, really making democracy real that's helping us move forward. So thank you guys again. Really good being with you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, so what a treat that was. This is Dan again, your National Field Coordinator. And let me now briefly go over the rest of the agenda for tonight so you sort of know what's in store. And just to remind you, all these monthly calls are recorded. This one is no exception. So if you know someone who would love to hear that recording, the recording of tonight's call, you'll be able to share that by going to our website. And we're actually going to be sending the recording, a link to the recording, to everyone who registered for this call. So you'll have that in your inbox. In a moment, I'm going to introduce our second special guest speaker. This really is an extra special call, and that's Sylvia Borstein. And then we're going to talk, after Sylvia speaks and have a chance for a little discussion with her, then we're going to look at our monthly action for August and have a chance to go over that. And then I'll introduce Karen Johnson, who'll talk about Lobby Days. You heard Congresswoman Lee talk about our Lobby Days event that's coming up in October. So you'll hear some more about that from Karen, have a chance for discussion with her. If we have a few minutes at the end of that, we'll take some shares from the field. I'm not sure if we're going to have time for that or not, but we'll aim to do that if we can. After that, we will close. So now I have the honor and pleasure of introducing Sylvia Borstein. And Sylvia is not only a world-renowned teacher and author, sharing Buddhist teachings in ways that are highly accessible, poignant, and relevant for our times. She's also a longtime dear friend of the Peace Alliance, a member of our advisory board, and someone with whom I've had the pleasure to lobby members of Congress in Washington, D.C. with for peacebuilding priorities. Sylvia is a co-founder and teacher at Spirit Rock Meditation Center in Woodacre, California, and is a senior teacher at the Insight Meditation Society in Barre, Massachusetts. She lectures nationally on Buddhism and mindfulness and teaches Vipassana and Metta meditation. Among her many published works are books entitled Solid Ground, Buddhist Wisdom for Difficult Times, Pay Attention for Goodness Sake, and That's Funny, You Don't Buddhist. I've heard her speak several times before about mindfulness and politics, and I believe we are in for a real treat. We are deeply thrilled and grateful to have her with us here this evening. Welcome, Sylvia.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure, especially on a day like today. I imagine everyone who's on this call has been one way or another glued to the television set to see both the remarks that the president made in Trump Tower and the barrage of response to those. And in a sense, it has to do with what I want to say about what I teach about mindfulness. Another thing, excuse me, to say before I say any more is that it's very important for me when I'm introduced as a meditation teacher, and which I am, to make sure to immediately dispel the idea that the practice of meditation or any contemplative practice is a form of quietism and antithetical to social action. And I think, in fact, that the most, I don't know all the spiritually tremendously active and potent leaders in the world, I couldn't say that all of them had a spiritual practice, but I think about Martin Luther King, who had a deep religious connection, and Desmond Tutu, and Nelson Mandela, and the Dalai Lama and Mahatma Gandhi, all of whom had personal practices of quieting the mind so as to be able to keep a clear vision of what was happening in spite of the fact that there's so much turmoil going on in the world. I think that one of my main ways of thinking about my contemplative practice in these days is that I'm trying to keep myself sane enough to keep on thinking there is some hope, this would be the right thing to do, remembering how to balance my mind so that I do not respond to negative input with negativity output, because then my mind is more confused and I've aggravated the situation some more. I was thinking in anticipation of this call about how everybody on the call probably knows what the news of the day is. And just if everybody would reflect for a moment about the state of their mind when they hear this kind of event happening in the middle of our supposed to be civil society, and how to counter outrage in the mind with dedication and with stalwartness and with a doubling of resolve to meet the situation with clarity and not make it worse, but to meet it ardently and with as much strength as we have to do. That actually the definition of mindfulness is to be able to see clearly moment to moment what's happening around us, what's happening around me, what's coming up in me in response to what's going on, and in order to be able and to see that with balance and a certain amount of poise in the mind, poise in the sense of balance and poised in the sense of ready to act on behalf of the good for oneself and for everyone else. Really to think of oneself in whatever walk of life any of us have, whether we're voting in a legislature or in a board of supervisors or teaching anything anywhere to other people or just interacting in the way that we do with other people, are we in fact building peaceful relationships and peaceful communities and maintaining a peaceful mind so that we can support political figures in bringing about the change that we need to have come about? I'm so glad I was on this call with Representative Lee. I've been such an admirer of her. Every once in a while when she turns up on television on one of these programs where she's putting in her opinion, I always find her so remarkable and so inspiring. I just the other day saw a new documentary film that is just beginning to be shown around that. A documentary film covering the Women's March that happened on the day after the inauguration this year. I imagine that many of the people on this call marched in that march as I did. And it's the film is somewhat of a collage of five or six different communities of women in different places who are getting ready to march on that day and then actually being part of their community march. I very much was inspired by an 80-year-old woman in a group in Santa Rosa, California, since I am now also in my 80s. I was very much inspired by this woman in Santa Rosa being helped to get ready to go to the march by her friends and saying, first I have to put in the leads from my oxygen for her breathing condition, so she puts the oxygen leads in her nose. She said, now I can put my hearing aids in over I can now put my hearing aids in first so that I can put my eyeglasses on over my hearing aids, and now you can help me into my wheelchair because she needs a mobility aid, and don't forget to take my DNR with me. And then she looks at the camera and says, I have been marching since I was 30 years old, and I'm marching today because we still haven't solved the problem. So as long as I can go, as long as someone will take me, I'll continue to speak. And I see something like that, and I hear Congresswoman Lee, and I see the people who are still continuing to stand up and do things like the Peace Alliance, which keeps on sending out action bulletins. I think, well, we just can't any of us stop. We just have to avoid falling into a pit of despair or discouragement and continuing to make a difference. I really wanted to make that one important point about maintaining some balance in the mind in order to be able to act with clarity. That's really the central point that I wanted to make. And I don't think people need to meditate. Meditation is one way to do it. Walking around the block several times and greeting the neighborhood dogs and looking at the summer flowers and seeing children in the street is another way to calm the mind. And singing with a choral group is another way to calm the mind. But I think we all have to think about, well, not we all have to, but we all are well served if we think about ways of maintaining our own mental equilibrium. So that we can meet the challenges of the next day all the better. And, of course, it's always true. I guess I'll tell this story because I was so pleased by it. I called Senator Murkowski's office before the vote on the health care, and I had a list of offices to call, and I called all of them, and I got machines in most of them. And that was the last call I made, and I got a person. And I was so excited that I got a real person, probably an intern working in her office for the summer. And I launched into probably a two-minute recitation of why I thought it was so important for Senator Murkowski to not support the bill. And then I thanked the intern for taking my long conversation. And she thanked me for calling and took down all my data about who I was and have my contact. And I said they can contact me anytime they want. I'd be happy to talk about it more. But it was so rewarding. And then when the vote went in a way that I was relieved about, it was one of those moments when I thought, see, working is, it's not all in vain. We are making progress. Things do change. So I'm sure everybody here did more than that one call and did other things as well. But I wanted to share that because it's really recent. And you just do the next one and you just do the next one. And I so admire all of us who are doing that. And I'd love to talk to any of you about meditation or whatever else.
Beautiful. Thank you. I guess that's...
Are you there, Dan?
Say again, I'm sorry?
I thought maybe I stupefied you.
No, I just took me a moment to unmute myself. No, I had to make sure that was my cue to come back in. Thank you. It's great to listen to you. And you know, again, folks have an opportunity if you want to ask Sylvia a question or enter this discussion. You can press 1 on your keypad, on your telephone keypad, and I'll see it as a raised hand, and you'll have a chance to interact a little bit. I have a little question in the meantime, while folks are sort of gathering their questions in mind. Sylvia, so I wonder what advice you might have, say if someone is getting ready to go talk to their member of Congress. So it's August now, members of Congress are home in the district, sometimes they're having town hall meetings, or some of our folks in the field might even get to sit down and talk with them or with an aide in the next few weeks. So what if somebody is really, you know, excited and concerned about the state of our country and the possibility of nuclear war, you know, and these are some sort of, you know, high-pressure things, and a volunteer, say they're on their way to sit down with the Congress member or to see them at a town hall and maybe raise their hand and speak. Can you give a little suggestion for what somebody might do just to calm their mind and find their center sort of in a express fashion? Any ideas there?
Well, yeah, I think because there's all kinds of situations. You might be talking to a I in my district would be talking to a representative who shares my views, so I want to say things that say I thoroughly support you. Please continue. In other districts, people will be talking to someone whose views they don't share. And the people in the room next to you may be people with whom, that you have different views from. What I have been most, well, two things, there's two answers to you. I would be very careful about monitoring my own mind so that it doesn't get overwrought and then say something that it wished it hadn't said. I really can't say enough about thinking twice. When I went to the last town meeting I went to, I recited what I was going to say in my mind several times before I stood up to say it, because you get excited when you stand up and you could say it off and offend some of the people in the room. And I don't want to offend anybody, so I really try to take a few deep breaths, think what I'm going to say, think it over. I also want to talk a lot about situations in which people find themselves where they have other views from the other people. You get invited to an afternoon dinner party, lunch on somebody's patio, and it's all going well until somebody says a view that you don't have. And it's alarming to hear that, and you get ready to respond to it. It's so hard except I'm very careful about it now, so it's not as hard, but it's alarming. Somebody says something that you completely disagree with, and the impulse is to jump in and tell them why they're wrong. And I'm trying very much these days to be able to at least ask a follow-up question when someone tells me something that's completely different from what I believe or think or support. If I could say something like, you know, I do have other views, which I'll tell you about in a minute, but could you explain to me a little bit about whatever? I want to know something else about them and about their views. If nothing else, it'll remind me that they're a person like me and not a monolithic view, that there's actually a whole person there that I'm relating to. I'm just reading a book by Arlie Hochschild, who's a sociologist, called Strangers in Their Own Land. And I've really been chastened by reading it when I read how good she is in going through the South and talking with people in Mississippi and Louisiana and the poorest parishes and states and districts really in the country, and talking to people who voted exactly differently from the way I did and are good people. They take care of their neighbors. They work hard. They have a whole mindset and structure that supports a different understanding of politics and personal worth than what I have. And they're not necessarily bigots. They're not necessarily racist. They're just people with another point of view. And it's been very hard for me to read this book with an open mind, because along with the view, this person has another view, usually comes the view, this person has a stupid view or an idiotic view. It's very hard to hear the other person's view as a view that they came up to as legitimately as I came to mine. And to the degree that I can engage someone in a conversation and keep them there long enough for me to internally calm down and see them as a person with an adversarial view, but not my enemy, I can then talk with them more effectively and listen to them more effectively. Does that make sense to you, Dan?
That makes a ton of sense to me. I love that. That's really, I find that really nourishing, what you just shared. And I think that's a section of the recording of this call that might get played over and over and over again. I hope it does. Yeah, I'm hearing just the importance of humanizing someone when we're sort of triggered to think, oh, they're so different from me, or their ideas are inferior to mine. It's just really an important flag to try to remember their humanity.
Yeah, mine are the good ideas, and theirs are not. And that's a non-starter in terms of being able to work anything out. Half of the country voted differently from the way I voted, so there's a lot of people out there to talk to, and you know they're just who they are.
Yeah, absolutely. I see that Judy Kimmel, our board president, our chairperson, has her hand up. Let me unmute her. Go ahead, Judy. You're open.
Thanks, Dan. I hope you hear me. I'm on the cell phone, but in Maine. And Sylvia, so delighted to hear you. You are a total inspiration to me. And I have been grappling myself personally on a personal level and also on a national level with the whole concept of listening and being a good listener. And it's a challenging thing in these days. And I know we all have an opinion and an agenda to promote, and to me it's a very delicate balance, a dance, and so I'd love to have you speak a little bit more about that. I was reading a quote that says America needs to build a giant mirror and reflect on what we have become, and I think that's so true. And I think the answer to many of our problems today is in the listening. But, you know, I'm really a novice in that, so perhaps you can give me some insight into how to step back a bit and really gauge what my next steps are.
Thank you. Hello, Judy, anyway. I'm glad to talk to you again. And
yeah.
This is a topic that we could well explore anytime you want with the whole group or whatever. I'm thinking about the effort to not think about the other person's view as much as what else I know about the other person. The person is the postmaster in my small town, votes the other way than I do. I know that from the bumper sticker on her car and the other ways that you check it out, things she said to other people within earshot. And I knew it even one election ago or two elections ago. I've known it for a long time. And the way of the mind is so strange because I don't see this postmaster unless I'm in the post office. And so the whole time I'm not thinking about her. But I notice my mind when I go into the post office, it thinks there is so-and-so who votes that other way, that inferior way. You know, it becomes who she is in my mind. And so I begin to think to myself, what will I say as I walk into the post office, I see her, I'll think to myself, there is so-and-so who was so helpful when I couldn't track that package the other week and who is always charming to the people with some kind of physical or behavioral problem that makes it hard for them to transact their business. And she's so kind to them. That's really wonderful. I think a few other things about her which undemonize her to me. She's not my enemy. She's a person working in the post office who has other views than I do.
Yeah, right.
So, yes. And then I'm not going to talk politics with her anyway. She can't do that on the job, and she's not going to change my mind. But when I'm in the post office, I'm not tense in my whole body about uh-oh, because if we were uh-oh about how people voted, we'd have to be uh-oh with people sitting next to us in the movies or the people next to us in the line at a supermarket. Who knows
yeah.
how they voted? They have to be people first, and then somehow when we get to know them, we talk to them more. And I don't really, at Spirit Rock, first of all, I can't be partisan in my politics. Everybody knows what my politics are because I say enough things that make that clear. And these days, because the politics are so right in everybody's face, I do cite them from as much as I ever have. More, actually, I'll talk about them tomorrow. But I'll talk about having a bigger view so we can think of people as adversaries and not enemies, so we don't have to be afraid in our own world. That's how people are. And to think not they have to be something bad has to happen to them. We have to educate people and teach them.
Yeah.
I was very impressed in the beginning of the broadcast when I guess it was Dan went through all the programs that Peace Alliance does, but the ones about educating people, and Barbara Lee said it as well, to how everything affects everything, that education affects income, it affects the society, it affects staying out of being involved in criminal behavior, it lifts up the neighborhood. That if we just thought about educating people and doing that in a way that really is done out of kindness, not out of otherness. The whole world is full of we and theys, and it's too small to have we and theys. It has to be us at this point.
I love that, Sylvia. The whole we and they. I love that.
Yes.
There is no we and they. It's true. And if we all can get down to it, it's just a big challenge to get there.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, not to say, you know what's another thing I've been cautioning people about? Don't stay glued to the television. Because after a while, the intensity of the news and the fact that it's presented in a whipped up way is not good for your mind. You know, when I listen to news in my car, driving around, I listen to NPR, and their tone is not so whipping up and irritating. And even when things go, so to speak, my way, and I watch it on the cable news, my mind is all stirred up afterwards because it's designed to stir us up so that we don't turn it off. And I really do not want to be a sitting duck for the advertisers on television channels. Enough news is enough. I don't have to hear it 50 times. So that's a piece of advice for everybody. Turn it off and read a novel at night.
So good. Yeah.
Sounds great. Well, thanks, Judy. I love this discussion. And Sylvia, it's such a pleasure to be with you and to be in conversation. I mean, if we didn't have an agreement to have this call in under an hour, and if I didn't have some empowerment piece to share about taking political action, I'd love to go on a lot longer with you. But
it was fun for me, Dan. Ask me anytime.
Okay, love it. We look forward to having you back, and thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Okay. So I want to invite you all to turn your attention to the action sheet that was sent to all of your inboxes a half hour before the call. If you haven't already taken a look, you can open that email and download or open that attachment. It's an action sheet for the month of August, and I'm going to put all the hands down that are currently up, and there are a couple of other people that wanted to enter that discussion. Sorry we didn't get to you. But what I'm looking for right now is a volunteer to read part of that action sheet for us. Anybody have the action sheet open and is willing to read aloud for us from the action sheet? It should be in all of your email inboxes. Give you a moment to decide that you are the one that's going to read aloud for us. Anybody feel like reading aloud from that action sheet? I'll give you a preview. Thanks, Tony. All right. So let's go ahead to Tony. And Tony, can you? Your mic is open. You have that action sheet in front of you?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
Great. Yeah, I hear you. But before you start, I just want to mention we did not think to include one of the bills that Congresswoman Lee mentioned. You may have heard her talk about H.R. 669. And that's the restriction of the first use of nuclear weapons. So I want to encourage everybody to grab a pen, or if you've got your computer keyboard handy, type that or write it up. You can put it right on this action sheet. H.R. 669 is a restriction on the first use of nuclear weapons. So that, please just piggyback that onto all your advocacy. This action sheet asks you to do some advocacy, and just please include that. So, Tony, will you go ahead and read from the top?
Yes, I will. Peace Alliance Action Sheet, August 2017. Your challenge for August, bring your voice for peace to your members of Congress, at least one of these three ways. Number one, find the Facebook pages of all three members of your congressional delegation, two senators and one House member, and post a comment asking for a repeal of the 2001 AUMF authorization for the use of military force, and supporting creation of a U.S. Department of Peacebuilding, H.R. 1111. A, while you are at it, like their pages so you can keep in closer touch. B, if you are unsure who your House member is, you can find out by Googling, who is my representative? Keep going?
Yes, please.
Number two, send a tweet tagging all three members of your congressional delegation, two senators and one House member, asking for repeal of the 2001 AUMF, authorization for the use of military force, and supporting creation of a U.S. Department of Peacebuilding, H.R. 1111. A, if you have never tweeted, this could be your opportunity to explore that social network technology. B, the Twitter handles of your Congress members are readily available by searching their names on Twitter or looking on their websites or Facebook pages at Tony Simpson, American Lotus 29. Number three, find your Congress members in person this month, either at a town hall meeting or by arranging to see them in their district state offices, and request that they give full-throated support for repeal of the 2001 AUMF authorization for the use of military force and supporting creation of a U.S. Department of Peacebuilding, H.R. 1111. A. Most members of Congress are in their home, state, district during August. B. You can find their schedule on their website to see when and where they will be available for conversation. And C. You may be able to even sit down and speak with them in their office to share how important the priority of peace building is to you, and maybe find out more about them and their relationship to peace building. Background,
You can pause there. Thank you. That's good for now. So appreciate it. Thank you, Tony. So as Tony was noting, on the second page is background. And that's the background of the authorization for the use of military force of 2001, and also background on the Department of Peacebuilding Bill, H.R. 1111. So it's recommended reading. It can help you get comfortable with this information. The first two suggestions, the Facebook comment and the tweet, those are things that you could, that everyone on this call could do tonight if you have access to a computer and the internet. So I want to ask everyone just for a quick poll. So get your hands close to your phones and just press 1 if you have a Facebook account. Press 1 if you are on Facebook. And press 1 on your phone keypad. I'm not going to call on you. I just want to know if you're on Facebook. Okay, the hands are going up. Yep. Some people weren't sure if I was actually calling on you. 36%, 38%. Okay. 41%. So far, close to half. Okay. And that may be about where we're at. Okay, so close to half of a Facebook account. I'm going to put the hands down now. Your hands are all down, so press 1 if you have a Twitter account. If you have a Twitter account already, go ahead and press 1 so we know how many people have a Twitter presence or the possibility right away of tweeting. We're up to 25%. Okay. When we're holding steady at 25%. So just to let you know, those tools are available. You can sign up for a Facebook account and a Twitter account in a matter of about 3 minutes each, if that's something that you want to do. You can just use it for this purpose. If you sign up for a Facebook account and a Twitter account and follow your members of Congress and like their pages, this could be an avenue to connect with them, find out what their priorities are, and keep them informed. So put all your hands down. Another poll, who would be willing to go ahead and either connect by Facebook with your members of Congress tonight or connect by Twitter with your members of Congress tonight and take this action? This is something you can do just in the half hour right after this call. How many people would be willing to go ahead and just say, tag this person or put a comment on their page and say, please repeal the 2001 AUMF, and please support H.R. 1111 and H.R. 669. Again, H.R. 669 is the restriction on the first use of nuclear weapons. Okay, so far 12% of hands going up, 15%, good, still climbing. So you're thinking about it. This might be something that you could do tonight. 30%, great, okay. And one final question, because I want to have time to talk about lobby days. Numbers keep going up. Thanks for thinking about it, and I encourage you to do so. Any guidance we can offer, dan@peacealliance.org, nancy@peacealliance.org, we're here to support you. Final question, how many people are interested and willing to seek out their members of Congress in person in the next few weeks in August? Most of them will be home in the district or in the state for the next 2 weeks. So it's a matter of looking on their website or calling their local office and saying, what's the congressperson's schedule? When will the town hall meetings be? Might I have a sit-down meeting with this person just to share my interest in peace building, my interest in proactive tools to build peace? Here are some bills that I want the congressperson to support. Okay, I see 18%, which is a significant number in Jewish mystical practice. 18% has a significance of life in a lot of Jewish belief. 27%, okay, 30%, so a third of the folks on the call are willing to consider or thinking about going and having these meetings in person in the next couple of weeks. That's wonderful. And again, Nancy and I are here to support you, dan@peacealliance.org and nancy@peacealliance.org, if you have any questions or want any support. Thank you so much. Okay, we're shorter on time than we had hoped to be at this point, but I do want to welcome, where is she? Karen Johnson, a member of the Peacebuilding Committee and longtime saint in the Peace Alliance world. Karen, please tell us about Lobby Days.
Thank you, Dan. What an amazing call so far. This is really chock full of action and inspiration for action. So Lobby Days, really quickly, is October 4th, 5th, and 6th. People can participate for 1, 2, or 3 days with us. The main 2 days are the 4th and the 5th, Wednesday and Thursday. Many of us will be flying in Tuesday night so that we can start at 9 a.m. on Thursday. And quickly, for people who haven't been there, we're going there to lobby our representatives, that it has an impact or an impression on them when we travel to Washington, D.C. to have a meeting with them. And also one of the advantages is we have people from around the country. Some have had more experience lobbying, and sometimes people that have never lobbied before have a really huge impact on the meeting because they're speaking from the heart, and that's really what makes an impression on our representatives. So we've got links on our Facebook page, Department of Peacebuilding Campaign. You can also go to the Peace Alliance website under the Issues and Advocacy tab, Department of Peacebuilding Legislation, and we've got right at the top of that page now a link to registration and the Facebook page. And so there's the Eventbrite registration to join us for Lobby Days. So it's just 2 hours of training, 1 hour each morning, and we hit the hill and we go lobby. We're lobbying both Republicans and Democrats. We're in the process of identifying those key offices. We always meet with Representative Lee's office, and we hope to be meeting with her in person this time, but we have met with her chief of staff, and that's still a pretty amazing meeting. So sign up, and we'll see you there.
Great, Karen. Thank you. Thank you. So we have 2.5 minutes for questions. If anybody has questions for Karen about Lobby Days, you can go ahead and press 1 on your phone keypad, and that'll raise your hand if you have a question for Karen about Lobby Days. Looking, waiting, questions about Lobby Days. Karen, anything else that you want to say, given you have perhaps an additional minute?
Yeah, I'll just reiterate. It's the Department of Peacebuilding National Campaign that putting together the Lobby Day, so we'll obviously be lobbying for that, but we're also identifying other pieces of legislation, probably a lot of what is on the August action sheet, so it can also be follow-up to contacting your people locally and then to actually see them in D.C. So it's always good, as we always say, go for creating a relationship and building a relationship with your representatives, and that has a lot larger impact over time as well. So all things peace building, it's very important for us to get it back to being an act of Congress to go to war instead of the discretion of the president now.
I see Nancy Merritt has a question. Nancy, what's on your mind?
Hi, Karen. I just wanted you to mention also the Amplify component and the Million Youth Peace March part of it.
Very good. Nancy always remembers everything. yes, so if people can't make the trip to D.C., then we'll have information that's disseminated closer to D.C. days in October that says, also, call your representatives, the Washington office, or even the local office, and say, I couldn't make it to D.C., but I am with the people who traveled, and please support these initiatives and legislation that they're coming to meet with you about. And also, there is a Million Youth March that's happening on that Saturday, October 7th. So I think they have a rally at 9 o'clock, the march at 11, something like that, and then another program at 1 o'clock. So they're having things around the country, but also the main one in D.C., so you can also plan to participate with that, if you like. We kind of planned around being able to support the youth in their march as well.
Beautiful. So
the link to their website is on our website as well, so people can learn more about that.
Thank you, Karen, for that, and thanks, Karen and Nancy, for all that you do. So much that you give of your energy and time, and attention and care to this work. I'm very grateful for all of that. So at the top of the hour, I've got a closing quote, and then I'll open the microphone so you can all say goodbye to each other or whatever you want to say in our final moments. I'll rely on one of my favorite quotes that I go back to over and over again from Eleanor Roosevelt, who said, "The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of our dreams." The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of our dreams. Now your microphones are all open, and you can say whatever you wish. And good evening to all. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
Good
night.
Good
night,
everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
I'm ever so grateful. Thank you.